98.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios, simulcast on NBC Sports Boston, and enjoy football, food, and more with Tom Brady at the Best Buddies Challenge, June 1st and 2nd. You can register today at TeamTomBrady.com. It's a story that I'll be obsessed with until we find out exactly what happened. I will not be able to get over why Bill Belichick, the greatest coach in football history, did not play Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl. The excuses and the explanations, none of them seem to make sense. I can understand not starting him because you might have thought that he didn't have a good week or one thing or the other, but to not make an adjustment, to not do some sort of, because I mean, what is Bill Belichick, obviously everyone praises him for? It's at halftime, he makes adjustments and they come back out and usually they're able to right any kind of ship that was wronged in the first half of a game. But in this case, just to completely leave the guy who had played 97% of the snaps all season long, more snaps than anybody else in the defense, on the sidelines is baffling. So when are we going to get the truth? It seems like we're getting closer to it. Now the lips are getting a little bit looser. I thought it was going to be as soon as Malcolm Butler ended up signing with another team. I was maybe a couple weeks off, because this past weekend, Sports Illustrated did a sit down with Malcolm Butler, something you had to like pay like some subscription to end up getting the entire interview. But either way, it was kind of eye opening, and at least what happened afterwards. Then a couple players started talking about what Malcolm Butler actually said. And here he is being asked about what was going on the sidelines and why he was not in. Malcolm Butler doing this interview for Sports Illustrated, talking about why he was not in the game.
Week before the Super Bowl, you know, I wasn't feeling too well. Like, I had the flu, nose running, nose stopped up. You know, I took a trip to the hospital, and I didn't travel with the team the day they traveled down there. I never missed a game, never, like, missed practice or anything like that, and but we would have won if, you know, I played, probably, maybe, not sure, but I would say we were short about one or two plays, and I seen a couple plays out there I could have made. It was just a coaching decision. This one ain't work out good for me, him, or the New England Patriots organization.
Well, he's right, and we've been saying that. All you had to do was make one stop. And you can't tell me that Malcolm Butler would have done better than what was thrown out of that field.
Just remember Johnson Batamosi whiffing on a tackle on a key third down. I'm like, I think Malcolm Butler probably could have made that play.
Sure, sure.
Probably could have wrestled the guy to the ground and forced a punt.
And I don't even care if it was 75% Malcolm Butler. I still would have taken it over what was out there on the field. So he was asked about, when you were standing there on the sidelines, did you want to say anything to Bill Belichick or Matt Patricia?
It was times when I was on the sideline, I just wanted to go up and, you know, say to Belichick or Matt Patricia and just say, this how we going to end this. I grew up in the Patriot system, you know, and I'm a well-mannered guy. You know, I respect my authority, and I just couldn't ask them for something they didn't want to do. I just was doing my job. I was close to going up there and saying what I wanted to say to Matt or Belichick, but I just stayed in my lane and just did my job, man. I really wanted to go ask him, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing he didn't, because it would have given the Patriots a perfect creative excuse.
Why?
He sat and then got in the faces of Belichick and Patricia. They could have spun it any way they wanted to, and it would have been a lot easier for the fans to go, okay, you know, but it's Butler to blame. You know, he didn't take sitting down at the beginning of the game. Patriots could have said, we were going to send him in, but then he got in the face of Patricia on the sideline, and as a disciplinary matter, we sat him for the rest of the game. So it's a really good thing he didn't do that, because then it makes the original coaching decision look even worse.
Don't you also think that there was a part of Malcolm Butler who, after being told moments before the game, like to the point where he's crying on TV that you're not going to play, don't you think that there's part of him, knowing this is the last game he's ever going to play for the Patriots, that he's standing there watching this whole scheme backfire on them? Like, they are losing without me.
No, are you saying
he sat
he's
back
happy?
There and
no.
said, I'm just going to sit here and watch this go down in flames. And if they get me in there, I'm going to show them what I'm made of, and I'll show them and I'll make some plays. But if this backfires, then it, you know what? Told you so. You should have played me. You don't think there's a little bit of satisfaction him standing there watching that go down?
I think he would have rather won the game. I think he rather would have played and won the game. That's what I think.
Sure, but you can't tell me there's a little part of him sitting there watching that.
In retrospect?
And knowing that if they don't come back to
not
him,
during the game, but in retrospect, see, yes. I disagree. Not during the game.
I think there's part of him going, you see what happens when you don't put me in? You see what happens when you don't put me in? You end up getting blown up. You end up absolutely just getting embarrassed on TV. That's what happens. I think there was part of that from him there, who was so pissed at what had happened that he wasn't going to go talk to Belichick or Matt Patricia. Now, if they would have come to him, he obviously would have gone in, and he probably would have killed it. Or he would have done something. Or at least would have made one play. Yeah. I think we all agree he would have made one play.
I think if Butler was god-awful and gave up a bunch of yards, that wouldn't have made him any different than any other defensive back on the field who wasn't Stephon Gilmore. So, honestly, wouldn't have mattered.
All right, so,
but he could have certainly made one play.
So Malcolm Butler was talking with his agent about how much the whole Super Bowl thing would affect him and his free agency, and here's what he said.
We got to let this thing...
This is his agent, the voice of his agent.
We got to let this thing play out, and we've got to see which teams are going to be serious here at the end, okay?
All right, cool.
Well, Derek, we need to... We addressed a lot of those questions after the Super Bowl. How do you think that went?
It went good. You know, only a couple teams really raised that issue. I don't think that's going to affect this process at all. I really don't. Malcolm, I need you to relax, okay, if you can. Just relax and let this thing just play out. And it's going to play out fine, I think, okay?
All right, cool. I'm good. Just keep working.
Okay, all right, bye-bye.
Okay, so after this interview came out, and there's a lot more to it, and we'll play some of it a little bit later on, But Mike Giardi from NBC Sports Boston tweeted, he said, texted a couple of current Patriots about the Malcolm Butler media tour in his comments to Sports Illustrated. One said, quote, "We all wished it would have worked out better, but he should have focused on what mattered those 2 weeks." Others said, "We didn't like the decision, but it wasn't without merit." Somebody just say what happened. Just now, okay, now we're getting to the point where we're almost there. Someone is going to break, and someone is going to say exactly why. Because this right here says that it's more than what Bill Belichick has been saying, what Matt Patricia has been saying, that it was for football reasons, that it was more than a situation that he was sick and they didn't think he was ready.
There was a curfew rumor during the week. There are a lot of rumors flying around.
Because if you were just sick and maybe you didn't have a good week of practice, don't you think... Don't you think that would not justify this comment from a player? He should have focused on what mattered those 2 weeks. That sounds like something that was in Malcolm Butler's control. Unless he got sick because they all knew he was out partying or whatever and not taking care of his body. Maybe that's the case. But still, that has something to do with how he was acting and outside of just football reasons. We didn't like the decision, but it wasn't without merit. That's another thing that makes you go, okay, well, there's something else there.
Then what is it?
Yeah, right. Well,
somebody put me out of my misery.
This is the way it works. This is the way leaks work. They slowly but surely end up coming out.
I like the leak where someone says this is what happens. That would be kind of nice.
But this isn't the end of it when it comes to everything that's been going on behind the scenes, because now Rob Gronkowski, or at least there has been someone in Rob Gronkowski's camp who has spoken. And once again, we are hearing more evidence that that whole Seth Wickersham article that came out from ESPN, that it has merit and that things are not 100% in Patriots land, and I have a easy solution to all of this.
Up to a point, Rich. Up to a point, you can't get much out of the Patriots before training camp, right? I mean, there are OTAs, there are a bunch of things where you have limited access to the players, limited access to Bill Belichick. Honestly, if it gets to July, the end of July, and we still don't have an answer, and the media still wants answers, because this is going away. Until everyone gets an answer, this is not going away. It's going to be a topic for discussion. You know, players are going to get players that are back from last year's team this coming summer. When they come back, those questions are still going to be asked. Isn't that going to be a distraction after a while? If we get to training camp and we're in the middle of August and people are still asking this.
Not for me.
Well, no, no.
I want to know. I don't care.
I'm not talking about the media. I'm talking about the players.
Sure.
The players keep getting asked this.
Yep.
Bill Belichick, who micromanages everything, wouldn't he want to put that behind him? Especially if it's not his fault. Especially if there's a real reason that he sat Butler down.
Maybe. But if you listen to what everyone's been saying and leaking right now, not everyone is on Bill Belichick's side right now. So maybe as a way of almost getting him back, leaking out this information, might be something that we will see soon.
There must be a way that Belichick would want to put this. I mean, you can't have this hanging over your team for a full calendar year, can you? I mean, this isn't going anywhere. It's fascinating.
I think we're
going
to know in the next
players.
Couple of weeks.
I know players yeah. don't. There are players that didn't like it. There's a defensive coordinator that's now a head coach, not even under the under Bill Belichick's purview. He's somewhere else in a different conference, still won't say anything.
I think Malcolm Butler just threw a cherry bomb in the toilet. I think that with those comments right there, now you've got people in the Patriots saying, all right, well, that's not the way it
this
was.
This is going to be a distraction.
You're going to get
in
specific
July and August, now unless they fix this.
Now you're getting specific.
Somebody
suits.
Fixes this.
All right, we'll get to what's going on with Rob Gronkowski and everything else.
Tutcher.
Is this what you want?
And Rich.
Are you happy now?
Tutcher and Rich.
Ah, sick.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Week before the Super Bowl, you know, I wasn't feeling too well. Like, I had the flu, nose running, nose stopped up. You know, I took a trip to the hospital, and I didn't travel with the team the day they traveled down there. I never missed a game, never, like, missed practice or anything like that. And what we would have won if, you know, I played, probably, maybe, not sure, but I would say we were short about one or two plays, and I seen a couple plays out there I could have made. It was just a coaching decision. This one ain't work out good for me, him, or the New England Patriots organization.
I do love the menacing music Sports Illustrated put behind that. We don't need that. I think we understand the gravity of the things that are being said. It's Tutcher and Rich. Fred is sick this morning, and we are in the Town Fair Tire Studio, 617-779-0985. And that is Malcolm Butler. Spoke to Sports Illustrated and about a lot of different things. At one point, he said that he wanted to go talk to Belichick and Matt Patricia, but he said, I wanted to be a good soldier, so he did not on the sidelines of the Super Bowl. And since then, Mike Giardi from NBC Sports Boston tweeted that he spoke to a couple current Patriots about the Malcolm Butler situation. And one said, quote, we all wished it would have worked out better, but he should have focused on what mattered those 2 weeks. And another one said, we didn't like the decision, but it wasn't without merit. So once again, this thing continues to stay in the forefront. And I will never not be fascinated why the greatest football coach of all time didn't at least make an adjustment to put Malcolm Butler in. But we have on the phone with us right now from MMQB, our good friend Albert Breer, and he is on the hotline. Good morning, Bert. Thanks for coming on with us at short notice.
Yeah, Rich.
Okay, so from this interview that Malcolm Butler did you learn anything new, or what's your opinion of how everything went down and the new comments from the unnamed player that Mike Giardi tweeted out?
Yeah, you know, I've heard sort of a rough story about what happened, and this sort of backs it up. And what I'd heard was that, you know, he was legitimately sick early that week, and he shows up to Minneapolis and is basically informed by the coaches. I've heard from some people it was Patricia. I've heard from others that it was Belichick. But I heard he was basically informed that he would be playing basically a nickel role, which means he'd be playing, you know, 60-70% of the snaps instead of 100% of the snaps, kind of like he did in the New Orleans game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously, if you're an impending free agent, you've been through the year the Butlers had been through, now all of a sudden there's a lot of things going through your head. And I heard he played like crap in practice that week. And somewhere along the line, Belichick came to a decision that he couldn't trust him out there. And that was a rough story. I don't know if there was any sort of run-in. I've heard that both ways, you know, during the week at practice. But the one thing I felt pretty confident about was that, you know, that he was told there was going to be a diminished role, and that, you know, and that he didn't practice well. And so somehow it went from him playing a diminished role to him playing no role at all. And I think the harder thing to swallow here coming out of it, of course, is the thing we've been talking about for 2 months now, which is, that's fine if you're not going to play at the beginning of the game, but when you're getting torn up by Nick Foles, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, why didn't there come a point when you put him out there? That's, I think, still a larger question that's out there, but I think we're starting to get a little bit of a shell of the story here.
All right, Bert, this is, and you mentioned it, we've been talking about it since the morning after the Super Bowl ended. Obviously, this is going anywhere. It not only fascinates people here, but I think nationally there are some people that are still curious about this. Can Bill Belichick, can he let this hang over the team all the way through the summer and into training camp? Because the longer we go without answers, the more interested all of us are becoming because people are so secretive on both sides. Does there have to be like a come to Jesus moment where Belichick or whoever it is finally gets the story out there so they can clear it off the deck and start moving on from it?
John, this is a lot like, to me at least, I know a lot of people think, well, why are you still talking about it? Let me ask you guys this. Isn't this exactly like, Pete Carroll not giving the ball to Marshawn Lynch?
Yes, but for an entire game. At least I get making a bad decision on one play, but that's why this is so baffling.
Rich, follow me here, though. Okay, so it's like that, right?
Yeah.
Is this like Dan Quinn and Kyle Shanahan, throwing the ball in the fourth at the end of the fourth quarter of Super Bowl 51?
Yes.
And those things, if you remember, those things followed those teams right until week one.
Right.
So that's why I'm bringing them up, is that hung over Pete Carroll, that hung over the Seahawks right until the beginning of the 2015 season. It hung over the Falcons. It hung over Dan Quinn.
And it affected them the first quarter of the season. It affected them the first quarter since. Seattle has never been the same since.
It's exactly and that's what it is that, like, now the shoe's on the other foot, and I don't think anybody around here had any problem bringing up the Pete Carroll thing 3 years ago, whether it was March or whether it was August.
Yeah.
Same thing with Dan Quinn last year. This is just the implications of that happening on the biggest stage. And, my guess, having been around Bill, having been around that team for 14 years, my guess is that Bill doesn't think that, coming out and having some sort of, clearing of the decks, I'm going to explain the whole thing moment with the media or with, someone to get the story out there is going to change the dynamic. It's going to be part of the story till September anyway. So he'd rather just move on and try to get his team in a position to move on. And so my guess is that he's probably not going to bring it up.
Okay. So another story that came out this weekend involving Rob Gronkowski. The good news, this is from ESPN, the good news is that they reported, according to a source, is that they believe that he's pretty certain he's going to come back as long as Tom Brady stays with the team. Then they mentioned the article, say, however, this dose of good news for Patriots fans comes with a little bit of dilution. He said, lingering frustrations remain between Gronkowski and head coach Bill Belichick, along with others in the Patriots organization, according to sources close to both sides. Whether those frustrations on either side will impact Gronkowski's return to the team remains the final piece to this unfinished puzzle. And they talk about how the mental wear of working for a guy like Bill Belichick is starting to take a toll on him, not just the physical side of it. I guess he's expressed his frustration. And then they had the whole thing with the Danny Amendola Instagram post where he, he said, thank goodness you're finally free, in capital letters. And this sounds, first of all, it's confirming everything Seth Wickersham has been saying so far about the what's going on behind the scenes, but I didn't realize it was this bad between Gronkowski and Bill Belichick. How do you think this all works out, and what do you know about what's happening?
I don't think much has changed, and I think Tom Curran reported something similar to this about a month ago. Look, there's tension in that building, and I think one thing we have to realize is that Bill's never been easy for anyone to play for. there have, over the years, been a lot of people who've felt that way in that building. The difference is that it's almost never been the most important people on the team. It's almost never been Brady. It's almost never been somebody of the stature of Gronk. It's been people up near the top of the roster. But, you guys remember in 2009, when that season went sideways with the late gate thing and Randy Moss quitting against the Panthers and all of that, after that season, they basically cleaned house. They got rid of a lot of people. They brought in a lot of young guys. They made changes on the coaching staff. And, really, they've always been able to do that sort of thing when there's been that sort of feeling where the tension's, maybe boiling over in the locker room. The difference this time is that the tension is with, is with the organization and the two probably most important players in the roster, and Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. And so, that's, look, the tension, again, the tension's been there forever. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and Rob Gronkowski and Bill Belichick have never been friends. That's not the way Bill runs his program. But I certainly think that there's a piece of this where, the way that you've handled your best players has always enabled the rest of your program.
Sure.
If you can go in there and MF Tom Brady and MF Rob Gronkowski and make those guys miserable during the week, well, then no one else can say anything about it.
You right.
have the ability to do that to everyone else on the roster. And if you're at the point now where those guys are like, well, wait a second, what's going on here? You know, now you're talking about something else. And that's where I think this offseason is very, very tricky. I'm not saying that Bill has to go and make up with those guys. I just think the challenge for Bill now going forward is getting his relationship back level with Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. And I'll tell you this, you know, we were at the owners' meetings last week. Talked to a lot of teams about this. You know, we've talked a lot about Odell Beckham last week. If I'm another team, I am calling the Patriots and asking about Rob Gronkowski's availability. And I think that's something that's going to be quietly done in the weeks leading up to the draft. And there are going to be teams that are going to swoop in here and try and see if Rob Gronkowski's available.
Yeah, this is because, I mean, that's another thing this article states, is that the longer this goes on, and we heard about this earlier, too, about how once Bill Belichick has in his head that, you know, what life might be like without a player, it almost seems like he starts visualizing it as a reality and moving on it.
Here it is, Rich, okay? Like, everybody has kind of like Bill has a threshold for every player, how much he's willing to put up with. And Gronk's going to wind up in the Hall of Fame, right?
Yep.
So the threshold for what they're willing to put up with Gronk is higher than it is for probably any other player on the roster except for Tom Brady. And you can see it in the way they've handled him over the years. Like, what other player would be, you know, issuing a joint statement with his family and the team on an injury?
Let me ask you this real quick. I don't mean to cut you off, Bert, but we only have a second. But do you think the Crafts would let Bill Belichick trade Rob Gronkowski?
Here's where the rubber meets the road on that. Would Brady step in and say something to the Crafts?
So if he said don't trade him, they wouldn't trade him. They would do anything Brady says.
Like, I don't know. I honestly, Rich, I do not know the answer to that question.
Okay,
but I'm just telling you, like I know it wouldn't make Brady. If Brady would not be happy about that, and so if Bill goes to the Crafts and says I'm going to do this, do the Crafts go to Brady? I mean, it's just that's what's so complicated about all of this, and so. Look, I think Bill certainly entertained the idea of what life would look like without Rob Gronkowski. I'm not saying he would trade him, but I certainly think that that's going to be put on his plate over the course of the next few weeks with other teams, because I know that there are teams that are looking at adding offensive weapons, and you may see teams that strike out on getting Odell Beckham coming to the Patriots and saying, what can we do to try to get him? So that, you know, it's not just something in Bill's head. You're going to have other teams making that phone call over the next few weeks. So Bill's going to have ample opportunity to think about this. And it'll just be interesting to see how all of that turns out.
All right, this is also weird. It's really strange.
They have to fix this.
I know.
Excellent point. Yeah, Super Bowl teams.
Let me ask you this. If you're the Rams, so say the Giants are, if 2-1s are nothing, you say you're not going to pay that. If you're the Rams and you want to give something to Jared Goff, who's still on his rookie deal, you've got more cap space to work with. Don't you make that phone call?
Sure you do.
Oh, yeah. Well, Gronk would hate being in L.A. Los Angeles is not a town.
I'm pretty miserable playing for Sean McVay in L.A.
That would be a nightmare for him out in Los Angeles. Right, with Sean McVay and all, you know, it would be amazing. It would be like returning the ring to Mordor. The guy, that's his happy place.
Jesus.
And he's only, what, 5 hours from Vegas, too?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Turn them loose. All right, Bert. We'll talk to you soon, man. By the way, there is an easy way to make this all go away, and I'll get to it right after John Wallach's headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, the Sports Hub.
Hi there.
It's Gronk. How would you like to partake in a very fierce crafting competition?
I would love that.
Let's see what we'll be making today. We're going to be decorating a giant Easter egg. Are you ready for this?
Oh, I'm ready, Busy. Are you ready?
I am definitely ready.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Ready, set, make.
All right, here we go.
Wait, I'm sorry. That's exactly what I just did on mine.
I know.
What? That's not.
That's why I did it.
I'm going to have to change my whole vibe.
It kind of looks like a volcano. Maybe I can go in that direction.
That's being a football player. You got to get creative, too, on the field, don't you?
Kind of like doing this. You got to get creative. You got to find new techniques.
So basically what you're saying is that crafting and football are exactly the same
thing. You got that right.
Rob Gronkowski just showing up all over my Facebook feed. I mean, just like
That guy does more under-the-radar ads for things. I was scrolling through, and I saw Rob Gronkowski's face, and I thought it was just like an Instagram thing that he did on his own. But no, it was an ad for teeth whitener. I mean, that guy, the amount of products that guy endorses is astounding to me. And it's and a lot of them aren't even like top of the line. Like, that was for Michaels. Like the place where like old ladies go to do scrapbooking.
Yes.
Like, Rob Gronkowski is doing commercials for Michaels, the scrapbooking store. So, I mean, the guy, listen, I heard somebody say that Rob has not spent one dime from the money he has made from football, and all the money that he spends is just completely from endorsements. And if that's the case, then he's made loads.
I'm sorry. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around the last thought that Bert left us with. And if you're the LA Rams, why wouldn't you give the Patriots a call when we get close to the draft? And that would put Gronk in LA.
Yeah.
And that really, you know, that would kill me to watch him leave, and it would really damage the Patriots. But Jesus, the shackles would be off.
Yeah, if he's going to go to
a thing of beauty, if he wound up in L.A. with the Rams.
If he can't be a Patriot, I want him in L.A. Like, that would be, I mean, that would be amazing just to see. Because, I mean, you want, and with a young coach where they're going to let him, you know, fly off at the mouth.
Cut him loose.
Also, on top of that, like, that team is like, so damn exciting.
Yeah.
Like, the Rams are a fun team to watch. And it's a team that I, last season, found myself the second half watch, like, if the Rams were on and the Patriots weren't, I'd be watching a Rams
game.
That guy,
Jared Goff, who you said was awful, he's pretty good.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I was completely wrong about him. That first year, I thought, I saw him on Hard Knocks, and I thought he was atrocious. I didn't think he had the personality for it, but, you know, my God, that was that's a fun team to watch. So, okay. So, Jeff Darlington from ESPN, just to recap, had an article this weekend about Rob Gronkowski saying that Gronk has not made a decision, but he had said that more than likely they're pretty certain that he's going to come back as long as Tom Brady's with the team. But then they said that, however, lingering frustrations remain between Gronkowski and head coach Bill Belichick, along with some other people in the organization. They said that for Gronkowski, the physical anguish of the 2017 season, which led him late in the regular season to tell people that he was likely to retire, was paired with some mental fatigue from the high-strung culture within the Patriots organization. Nothing has occurred since the end of the season to convince him that is going to change, and Gronkowski knows that he'll need to be ready for a similar toll on his body and mind if he returns in 2018. Except for Belichick, since the season's end, sources say he's expressed frustration with those close to him about Gronkowski. Specifically questioned whether he remains all in, a critical aspect of Belichick's blueprint of success. You see, from this article, that was the thing that stood out the most, is that as far as the realistic possibility that he could get traded and that Bill is now thinking about life without him, was this quote right here. Is that, because, I mean, he, you know, obviously he is not a fan of players that are half in, half out. You saw what happened with Randy Moss. We all know how that went down. But, it says examples of Belichick's frustrations are nuanced, as his discontent with Gronkowski's message in an Instagram post regarding his former Patriots wide receiver Danny Amendola, who left New England. Beneath a video of him hugging Amendola, Gronkowski posted, quote, "Be free," in capital letters, "be happy." Should the offseason continue to create a sense within Gronkowski that he's fully committed to football, many close to Gronkowski and Belichick say they believe the friction between the two will ease, although the discord should not be discounted, as one source explained. It should not be viewed as irreconcilable. For now, the situation surrounding Gronkowski continues to percolate behind the scenes, while all sides remain generally vague in public forums. With the NFL draft still more than 3 weeks away, there's still time for the situation to rectify itself. Should the silence linger deeper into April, however, all possibilities remain on the table.
All right. Okay. How often has this hurt Bill Belichick? Let's think back now. The trading of Moss. Moss was at the end of his career. It didn't really hurt. Think about, for instance, Deion Branch held out first month of 06. And it lingered into the regular season, and the Belichick traded him to Seattle for a first-round draft pick. That left the Patriots without Givens and without Branch, and they went all the way to the AFC Championship game with Rishea Caldwell and should have gone to the Super Bowl. They would have won it that year. They would have beaten Rex Grossman in Chicago in the Super Bowl. They blew that big halftime lead on Indianapolis. I'm thinking Belichick looks at this and goes, okay, you know, if indeed this is his thought process, you know, this guy isn't all about football. He's not all in. I don't care how good he is. I'll trade him. I bet you that is okay. Something he's considering.
Here's the two things that I'm taking from all of this. Number one, the whole reason Rob Gronkowski is acting this way is because Tom Brady's acted this way this season. This is the first season where Tom Brady has kind of done things on his own. He made that Tom versus Time thing. We know that behind the scenes, things have been tense because of the Alex Guerrero situation. So for the very first time, you have Tom Brady, at least that we know of, doing something that contradicts the Bill Belichick way of being a Patriot. And I think exactly what Burt Breer said, once you see Tom Brady kind of cracking a little bit in the, not the loyalty, but in the Patriot way, then all the other guys start thinking, yeah, maybe there is something off here. Maybe this culture, because right now, I think it's more of a player problem than it is. Bill Belichick hasn't changed. This is the way he's always been. But now you have players reacting differently, and I think it all comes from Tom Brady being the first one to kind of deviate from doing it Bill's way or no way. The second thing is, if you want this all to go away, pay him. That's all you got to do. To solve all of this, you pay Rob Gronkowski the money that he wants, you give Tom Brady the money that he wants, and it's all done. It's not like those two guys aren't worth it. They're both underpaid. Pay them more. Make them happy. All of this goes away. The culture in the locker room, you make the guy at the top happy, and it all goes down.
But then you
there.
Don't get the flexibility that you've enjoyed the last 18 years.
Well, you know what? Then you
on the cap.
Then you risk pissing off
no,
your two best players.
Understood, but then you become like every other team that enters a season so far up against the cap that you have to cut three or four players, and that would kill Bill Belichick.
Here's the difference. These two guys are worth it.
I understand
they're
that.
Both worth it.
But
so why they won't just pay them.
Because
pay
Belichick
them,
over the years has massaged cap figures to the point where he can always bring in an extra guy who makes an impact if he needs them to.
Here's the other problem with all of this.
Look at it from the head coach's perspective, and it goes back to him being old school football and Rob Gronkowski not being focused. His way has worked for so long, and he's closer to the end of his coaching career than he is to the beginning.
All those people you named are not Rob Gronkowski.
I understand that. I understand it, but I don't think Belichick sees it that way.
All right.
And so, I think you agree with me on this. Belichick doesn't see it that way.
Sure, but that's how you solve the problem. You give them
the
money they want.
And my point is it's not going to happen.
And it's worth it. On top of that, the other thing is, too, is that if Bill Belichick is considering trading Rob Gronkowski, what faith do you have after the Jimmy Garoppolo trade that you're going to get the type of value that you should get for him? What makes you think if you got for Rob Gronkowski, which everyone think that he got ripped off, that it was highway robbery, that a second round pick, they essentially gave away Jimmy Garoppolo. What makes you so sure that trading Rob Gronkowski is going to pay off with what you're going to get compensated with?
Because you're not up against it in theory like you were with Garoppolo. Everyone in the NFL knew the Patriots are going to lose Garoppolo eventually. And Belichick was dealing from a position of weakness, which he doesn't do all that often. This time around, I have Gronk under contract. Sure, he's going to play. You know, eventually, we have control over him for 2 years. He's not going anywhere. But you know what? It's time to move on. This is what we like to do. We like to stay ahead of the curve. Yeah, he has some things left. Yes, he's one of the best, if not the best, tight end in the history of the game. But we're going to move on. But we expect a premium for him. They're not backed into the corner with Gronk like they were with Garoppolo. So I think you will get at least a first-round pick for him.
All right, 617-779-0985. We'll take your calls and more on Rob Gronkowski and what the hell's going on behind the scenes with the Patriots.
Toucher and Rich.
Like a time machine.
Being invisible.
Is this time machine count?
Yeah, let's do it. We can build a time machine right here.
If I could just be like, I want to be in Florida right now, and then, boom, I'm in Florida.
That'd be more like a transporter. Like,
yeah, is that a superpower?
.985 of Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich quickly wrapping up the stuff with Rob Gronkowski as the article came out that said that he's more than likely going to come back to play. However, there's still tension between he and Belichick. And the one part of the article that I think for me stood out the most as being problematic is it says, for Belichick, since the season's end, sources say he's expressed frustration with those close to him about Gronkowski, specifically questioning whether he remains all in. A critical aspect of Belichick's blueprint for success. That is scary, and somebody makes a point. This might seem a little extreme, but it's interesting. He said Bill also liked Jimmy, because we're talking about the amount that he got for Jimmy Garoppolo. He goes, Bill also liked Jimmy. I think Gronk is getting close to Jamie Collins territory, and Bill won't hesitate to move him. I don't know about that.
No.
But as far as
Gronk on the field is,
of course,
otherworldly. Well, Jamie Collins on the field, by all accounts, was freelancing, wasn't paying attention. It's
sure
a lot different.
But as far as him not liking someone, and we've heard that before, is that Bill only wants to coach people that he likes. We heard this, you know, kind of regarding Malcolm Butler and other players. And if this article insinuates that he's frustrated with Rob Gronkowski. Now, once again, you make considerations for world players like him. Let's get to Mike. What's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey.
Hey.
Looking at Rob Gronkowski getting traded, he was upset with a lot of the other players that he got rid of, like Jamie Collins. So what do you think he got for them in return, as opposed to get rid of Garoppolo?
All right, man, I'm sorry, your phone is awful. But, I mean, what he once again is talking about players that he's upset with as opposed to a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo. He wanted to do him solid, put him to a place where he would flourish, and we heard about all those stories behind the scenes.
You aren't going to get much more, I don't think. I think all NFL teams realize that the Patriots are going to lose him. So you're not going to offer him a top. I mean,
you don't think you could get a bottom of the first round pick?
Maybe. Maybe. All right. You get maybe 10 spots higher in the draft, but you weren't going to get that upper first round pick.
Sean, you're on Touch and Rich.
One other thing I was going to say is that the thing about trading Gronkowski is that if you trade him, he could just retire. So that could hurt his trade value, and that he essentially gets to pick his destination. Because if he doesn't like where he goes, he can just retire. So it hurts the value you could get for him potentially, and that he could just walk if he doesn't like the situation, and the other teams will know that.
I mean, he does keep saying that if he doesn't play with Tom Brady, then he's thinking about retiring. I mean, almost every comment that comes out of Gronk's camp about playing next year comes with that extra adage of, if Tom Brady is still playing. You know, he wants to play with Tom Brady, and he's made that specifically clear. So does that throw a wrench into the whole trade scenario? It absolutely does. And who knows whether or not, although I have a feeling if it means him playing in Los Angeles, that might be one of the few markets he's like, hell yeah, bring it
on. I'd almost ask the Patriots. I don't want the Patriots ever to trade Rob Gronkowski.
You would go full Gronkowski.
It would be great to watch.
It would be the best.
I never want the Patriots to trade him.
I don't either, but if
they ever did, I would prefer it to be to the Rams or the Raiders.
Well,
it'd be fantastic.
The Raiders, once they move to
to Vegas.
Yeah, to Vegas.
Oh, it'd be glorious.
Once they're there. And with Gruden?
Yes.
Oh, that would be great. I love his big guy right here. I mean, that would be ideal.
Yes.
But for now, Los Angeles, if he had to leave the Patriots, that would be a way to go. All right.